Amen. I want to, I've been asked, maybe I didn't say I wanted to, but I was asked tonight to give a word of testimony to you. And it is an honor, it is a delight to be able to give a word of testimony. I said this morning I don't like talking much about myself, but I love to exalt my Lord, and therefore it is a delight to be able to give this word of testimony. Now, at the very outset, I would say that my testimony is not like the testimony that many like to hear. Many love to hear the testimony of the drug addict or the drunkard or all these things. What do you call the miraculous testimony? There was rain this morning, one of our brothers praying in the prayer time. Salvation is a miracle. And I may not have the testimony of being be saved from those things. I may not have ever been involved in any of things, but yet I was a sinner in need of salvation. The Lord worked that miracle in my life. I was dead in trespass. And that is an amazing thing, is it not? A thing that none of us can do, to be dead and to be brought to life. That's what God has done for me. So therefore I say I may not have all that wow factor as many like to hear in the testimony. I say, if that is what you're coming to hear, you're coming to hear the wrong things. I may add. But I can say that the Lord saved me. I was a sinner in need of salvation. The chief of sinners, just like Paul. My sins were as filthy as the sins of any other. Sins that would bar me from heaven. And God saved me. So that's just as an outset, I would say that. But I suppose where I really need to begin is by saying who I am. Now, most of you know it has been announced and I've been here before. My name is Ray Kerskett. You know that. And you know most of you that I'm a minister in Kerrigarry. But maybe that's where your knowledge of me ends as a person. And probably you think, well, that's enough. And probably it is. As I said this morning, I want to speak about my Savior tonight. I don't really want to speak about myself at all. But yet I must give some basic information. For this, it all parts takes place, or it all serves part in what God has done for me. I'm from a family of one girl and three boys, born and raised on a farm in Fermanagh. Now married, and I have three children of my own, two boys and a little girl. And that, I suppose, is in short, is who I am. A minister, married, two boys and a girl. So that's who I am. That may move on, I suppose, to say what I am. And again, I can answer this very short. I can have my testimony over very short, but Brother Omerald wouldn't let me do that. Put simply, what I am is a sinner saved by grace. Sinner saved by grace. I'm nothing special. You know that probably as well as I am nothing special. Just a sinner saved by grace. Experience the love of Christ in my life. I love him because he first loved me. That's the very basics of who I am and what I am. But I must go on and I'll spend, I suppose, the rest of my time considering what the Lord has done and is doing in my life. John Newton, he said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be, in another word. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, they're wonderful words. They're wonderful words that sum up all of us as Christians. I know they certainly sum up me. I am not what I ought to be. So I would stand here. I'm not going to say that I'm anything better than I am, for I'm not. As I say, a sinner saved by grace. I'm not what I ought to be. I should be more. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I should be, I've been saved for many years now. I should be more. I should be holier. I should be closer to God. But I'm not as close as I should be. I'm not what I would hope to be, as he would say, in another world. But yet I can still say I'm not what I once used to be. The Lord has changed me. The Lord has saved me. I am a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's word says we are when we are saved. We are new. We are born again. Born from above. A new life. I can say by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not of works, not of anything I have done. But it's all of the grace of God. The word of testimony always gives us a great opportunity to stop and remember what God has done. that hymn we sang, that First Mary McShane hymn we sang, what we owe to God. I believe giving a word of testimony, that's why one of the reasons I do like giving a word of testimony, is it's for myself, to remind me what God has done for me, and to remind me just some of the things I owe to him. It is an opportunity to count our many blessings. We don't do that enough. We complain, we grumble. Consider what God has done for us. Well, it's always good to take stock of what God has done and what the Lord is doing for us. Now, from a child, I knew my need of a Savior. How did I know that need? Well, my mother, she sent me along to many different children's meetings. And as I stop and consider my attendance at those children's meetings, I don't know if you have any of these type of children here or not, but you probably had them at least at some point in the past. There's the loud one, the disruptive one, the one that always has to be told to sit down or to be quiet. And I was one of those children. And then, as I would say that to you, I say it to encourage you. Maybe you've involved in the children's work, and maybe you've been at your wit's end with these children, and you think, it'd be better if those children weren't there at all. They're hearing nothing, they're taking nothing in, they don't want to be here. But you see, I was one of those children. And though disruptive, and though I'm sure I think of it, my older brother and my older sister, they must have hated me coming along to those children's meetings with them. But you see, there was me disruptive, and I was still hearing that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. Never I ask you to be encouraged. Yes, you might be in your wits' end, and we live in a day and age where we can't do it, so you won't do it, I know, but you might be able to love to clip that child around the ear. But be encouraged more than you could ever know. And be at my attendance of those little children's meetings, I came to know my need of a Savior. And I don't know the age, I don't know the date, I don't know anything of it. But at an early age, I remember seeking the Lord to save me from my sin. As I would look back, in fairness, and look at those years, those childhood years, after making that profession, very, very little progress was made. Very little progress, even into my teenage years. Again, there was still very little progress. I believe, as I'll maybe consider more later, as I would look back at that, my childhood understanding, there was more about salvation from hell. I feared hell. I didn't want to go to that place of eternal torment. And it was a fear of hell that gripped me, and I wanted to be saved from that. But maybe that was all that felt like salvation was to me. I think we need to know more than that. To see if salvation is more than that, ever truly to grasp what our salvation is. Now, there was some growth. I have to say there was some growth. I didn't want to be involved in the things others were involved in. I didn't want to use foul language. I didn't want to do those things. But even with that little growth, there was just something always nagging away at me, a lack of assurance. Was I truly saved? Was I truly a child of God? Had God really saved me from the punishment of hell? I remember it still, for it happened so often, it was such a regular part of my life. I think it would nearly be every night as I would go to my bed, I'd ask the Lord to save me again. Still no assurance. This went on, as I say, for many, many years. I left high school after my GCSEs. I couldn't wait to leave the place. Hated school with a passion. Couldn't wait to leave it. My attendance wasn't great even when I was there. But I left after my GCSEs. The Lord got me through them just about. And I went to train to be a maintenance electrician. I worked in Quinglass there at Derrylin. I did my apprenticeship to train to be that maintenance electrician, done NVQs and so forth. But that was a hard place in many ways to be a Christian. I don't know if you know the breakdown on the demographics of the area of Derrylin. I'm sure you do, and particularly there within the Quinn Empire. It's vastly filled with Roman Catholics. Very few of a Protestant, even nominal Protestantism, in that place. And there was me, timid old me, amongst them all. I at times maybe didn't take the stand I did, but yet I'm glad that other times God gave me opportunity to take a stand. And it reminds me of what we considered this morning, that we must be willing to take our stand. We must be willing to be light, even in the darkest of places. I believe, as we all say later, the Lord led me into that dark place. The Lord was leading me to somewhere still I didn't know. I was a couple of years after leaving school, a couple of years into my apprenticeship, I met Rhonda, who is now my wife. Now, she attended Keish Free Presbyterian Church along with her family. And because she's not here with me tonight, I can say it more freely. I'm truly thankful to God for Rhonda. Say, I have to mention my family because God has used her, used others to lead me and to make me the person that I am. God uses people in our lives. God led Rhonda into my life, and she has been an immense blessing. So thankful for her, I think, even most particularly in my 4 years in college. Many of you know there's deputations, there was then anyway, there's deputations that felt like every week. You'd be going off and leaving them in the morning, you'd be going away off to preach somewhere. And I knew I was leaving Rhonda. As I was leaving her, she was praying for me. I would know that as I would mount the pulpit, that my wife was, yes, maybe not with me, because she couldn't take them with you on your deputations because of meals and so forth. But there she was at home, she was praying for me. And I thank God for that. What an amazing thing it is to have a praying spouse. Now, before I met Rhonda, I had never been in a Free Presbyterian church. Free Presbyterian churches, growing up where I grew, the nearest one was Clocker Valley. That was simply known as Paisley's Church. Now, that wasn't said in any kind of praiseworthy way. It was a derogatory term. Even today, if you go on the official site, there's a thing called air codes, like postcodes in the south. If you go onto the official map and you click on the building, which is Corrigarry Free Presbyterian Church, that's the official name of it. Something I'm going to have to change. That's me on the sidetrack. But, you know, I grew up, Free Presbyterians didn't have a great name. They were strange, weird people. People you didn't associate with. We heard all sorts of stories that, you know, if you were a young man in the Free Presbyterian Church, you were allowed to go out and find a wife and bring her into the Free Presbyterian Church. But young girls dare not do that. They had to stay within the church. We had all these types of stories of what Free Presbyterian was like. But I'm glad that I met Rhonda, a Free Presbyterian who did the opposite and brought me into the fold, as it were. She brought me in to attend church services in her church, brought me along to many church services. I suppose I have to say with my background, I suppose I skipped that. I was brought up in the Church of Ireland, Coldbrook Church of Ireland, you may know it. I was brought up in it for many years. Then when I was in high school, a young fella moved to the area. He was the son of the Baptist pastor there at Stone Park, outside Brook, between Brook and Five Mile Town. I got very friendly with him. I was saved. He was saved. He invited me along to, first of all, youth fellowship. I started attending there, and that's where I spent 8 years. I'm glad that the Lord led that friend into my life. Now, I skipped him, but I need to mention him. He's now a Baptist pastor in London, and we often are amazed that there is him and me, the two clowns, is all you could call us, of high school. And now the Lord has us both in his work, and the Lord is good. I remember it was, I think, the weekend before my ordination, and if the Lord can speak through a donkey, he can speak through either of us. And that's an amazing thing. The Lord has been good, even leading these people into my life. But one of the services that Rhonda brought me along to, as they had me at one before, I see the poster up in the porch for this year's one, was the Lockhearn Convention there in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen. I believe the year was 2005, and the speaker that night, which I was there, was Dr. Alan Kearns. As I sat in that service that night, it was as if Dr. Kearns was speaking not to anybody else. There could be nobody else there. I have no idea who else was there. I could take you to the very seat, the very spot I sat, as if the Dr. Kearns, not even Dr. Kearns, but the Lord himself was speaking to me. See, the Lord that night through Dr. Kearns was speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And one very simple question that Dr. Kearns put to us was to examine ourselves, to see if we're producing fruit. As I say, there was very little growth in my early years, and this struck me right to my heart. Where is the fruit in my life? I made this profession. I've asked the Lord to save me countless times. Where is the fruit? Well, I couldn't wait to get home, get on my knees, and cry before the Lord and at the very least rededicate my life to the Lord. I can say from that night, I haven't had a doubt. I haven't had a fear. I've had an assurance. I have ever had asked the Lord to save me again. From that night, I knew I am saved. See, I realized something we need to realize. Salvation is about more than just avoiding hell. Salvation is more than just about having a Savior. It's about having a Lord. Having a Lord. Having one that we are to serve. I have a great assurance, a peace. I don't say that with anything because I think I'm anything. But I believe in God and what He has done. For so long it was about, would the Lord save me? Has the Lord heard me? It's all about me, me, me. But you see, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Him. It's not anything that I have done, but it's what Christ has done. Maybe that's you tonight. You think, how can the Lord save me? Maybe you say, did I say the right prayer? We must realize that salvation begins and ends with Christ. Salvation is of Him. Now to move on, in my time, in my life, I spent 4 years doing that apprenticeship. And still it amazes me, but I decided I'd give education another go. Through doing my NVQ, I was able to go into what is, I think it's Belfast Metropolitan College now, but it was Biffy when I went to it. And I was able to go to do HND. There I did a HND in electrical engineering. I did my 2 years there. And after completing those 2 years, I decided to go further into education. I went to the Queen's University there to again study electrical and electronic engineering. And I went directly in its second year. So I only had 2 years to do. And during those 2 years, the Lord was with me. During those time, again, I say my wife, Rhonda, who she is now, she introduced me to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Again, I was brought up in the Church of Ireland. I knew nothing of these things and of catechizing. I had no idea what those were. But she introduced me to those things. And that little book, particularly the Shorter Catechism, something which we relegate to something for teaching our children. It's an amazing book. Amazing truth of what is it to be a Christian? Who is God? What are the attributes of God? What is this Christianity that we believe? There's a book that summarizes it from beginning to end. Wonderful little book. Read that book. Learn that book. I mentioned it this morning, the first question. But man's chief end. God used that question wonderfully in my life and my times in college. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The scripture proof that goes along with that text is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. As I learned that catechism, as I read it, as I looked up those proof texts, it really challenged me. What was I going to do to glorify God? I was in my final year of university. I was studying that degree in electrical and electronic engineering. I thought, how can I use this to glorify God? How can I fulfill this in my life? I was lost. I had no idea. How can I do this? I didn't know, but I prayed about it and I left it in the Lord's hands. Little did I know, the Lord, as He pressed it upon me, He was working something in my life. See, approaching my final weeks of my degree, I was still at that stage for applying for graduate jobs. I was going to be an engineer. I was going to make a name for myself, as I mentioned this morning. But in those closing weeks, I read an advert in what was then the Truth for Youth magazine. I'm sure maybe younger ones don't know it, but the rest of you remember that magazine. The Truth for Youth, there was an advert in it for a science and technology teacher in Clocker Valley Independent Christian School. Now there was straight away to me, I thought, here's an opportunity for me to use what the Lord, the talents, the gifts God has given to me to glorify Him. I can use what the Lord has learned me to teach these children, to teach science and the technology from a Godward perspective. I thought I was going to go. That was a great idea. So I was interviewed. The following Saturday, I remember getting a phone call from it was Reverend McIntyre offering me the job. Now, I already felt that was where the Lord would have me, but I suppose trying to be sound more spiritual maybe than I thought than I was. I said, I'll pray about it, and I did pray about it. And the next, that was the Saturday, the next Lord's Day, again, I was back in Kyle, Free Presbyterian Church, and that morning, Reverend Robinson was preaching on Elijah and Elisha. Now, he knew nothing of what phone call, or even I'd even applied for the job. And that sermon he preached on Elijah, taking that mantle and placing it upon Elisha, and how he had to leave what he was doing and follow him. Here he was called by God. He had to forget about all things, and he had to follow him. Again, I knew the Lord was speaking to me. This is the Lord's will. Follow me. Get up and take that position. Now, I taught in the school. Things seemed to happen in my years and fours. I taught in that school for 4 years full time, and then part time for a couple of years that followed. But I can honestly say, when I went to that school, I thought I was going there to teach the children. Here was me. I was trained in electrical engineering. And here was I was a Christian. And I was going to use these things to teach the children. I was going to teach them wonderful things. But you see, really, it was the Lord was teaching me wonderful things. The Lord was the one who had me there. He was leading me there. He led me there to teach me things. But think of Moses. Moses was a man who was led through different stages, 3 stages of 40 years, and how the Lord was teaching him so many different things in those different stages, and that's the way the Lord was dealing with me. You see, I was happy there. I have to say, I was happy there, and I felt I was going to be there for the long haul, but the Lord had different plans. Now, I don't mean to disparage the Christian school in any way, but the Lord was using it as a stepping stone. It was a stepping stone to some other form of service. I was happy there, didn't want to leave, but the Lord, as they had other plans. And how did the Lord speak to me of these other plans? Well, the Lord spoke to me through the death of 2 men. Death is a wonderful preacher. I don't believe there's a greater preacher in this country than death itself. There's nothing that should speak to the souls of men more than death. It reminds us that our time upon this, our earth, is short. It is something that we all must face. And the Lord spoke to me through 2 deaths. The death of a young man and a man who lived to an older age. Now, I used to, several years now ago, I used to play cricket for Clocker Cricket Club. And the last game of the season, it was a rearranged fixture. The season was long gone, really. It was at the very end of August. We were playing there at our own home ground. The visiting team was Orange Cricket Club. And as you know, that ground, maybe there along that main Clocker Road, there was a car. They've changed the road now slightly, but a car was waiting across the road, and it pulled across the road. One of those visiting, the car full of visiting players, and the crowd hit the passenger side of that car. And that young man, 24, 26 years of age, was there immediately rushed into eternity. There he was coming down to have what you could play a harmless game of cricket. Finish off the season. Little did he know when he stepped into that car that morning, it would be his last day upon this earth. I began very quickly to think, well, what if that had been me? What if that had been me? Here's a man even younger than me at that stage. He was younger than me. And I think, well, what if that was me? If that had been me, had been taken that day, what could I say I had truly done for the Lord in the time that he had given me? This thought, I couldn't get this thought out of my head. It struck me so quickly, but I couldn't get away from it. It's all I could think about. I was still teaching in the school at the time. First day back from school, the children weren't back yet, but we as the staff would come together. The principal of the school at that time was Mr. David Wilson, now in his 4th year of college study himself. The very first day back, we met as the teachers together. We opened with devotions. And the words that he turned to was the portion that we've read together tonight. And the particular words, one verse that he focused on in particular was verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Sure, that was That struck me like an arrow to the heart. This is exactly what I had been thinking. What if the Lord had taken me? I was asking myself, how have I numbered my days? That was the Lord would have us to do. Moses' prayer is, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How I was realizing that I needed to live each day for the Lord, as each day could be my last. One has said, I don't know who has said it, but when it comes to being a Christian, we should study like we're going to live forever. That is, we should never think, oh, well, I've reached a stage in my life I don't need to read. We should be studying like we're going to live forever. And we need to live like every day is our last. Do what we can for the Lord while we can. These words were a prayer of Moses. Prayer of Moses to the God of heaven, that we would number our days. Moses said, teach me to number our days. Teach us to number our days. I wonder, is that your prayer tonight? That Lord, as you would begin this year, not far into it, would have us to number our days. Say, Lord, make this year a year of service. Let me not waste my days. See, this whole psalm reminds us of the shortness of life. Verse 6, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. Verse 10 speaks of the days of our years are 70 years, 70 years, or at very best 80 years. And even that, it says it is soon cut off and we fly away. Our days are short. Are we living them for the Lord? This is what the Lord was saying to me. Oh, we must number our days. Tipper is clear that our life is very brief. I say how the psalm speaks so much of it. But as I would think of that, let me challenge you. Are you ready for that day? Not just are you laboring for the Lord now, but are you at all even ready for that day that is coming? Oh, we may not want to die, but we must die. But are you prepared to die? Prepared for what lies ahead? If I asked you tonight, if I was asking you now tonight, how many years have you got left? Could any one of you give me an answer? No, you couldn't. Why couldn't you tell me that? Because you don't know. No man knoweth what a day may bring forth. You don't know how many hours, how many days, how many seconds you've got left on this earth. And that reality should scare the life out of you this night. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know if this, as you walk out through the door, that'll be the last time that you do walk out through the door. Well, you must stand out. If you don't know Christ, as you draw that last breath, you'll stand before him as your judge. Hebrews 9:27 is clear. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's certain. Judgment is certain. As Hebrews 2:3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Are you neglecting salvation while it is yet day? Well, you see, there's no way of escape. If you leave it to your death, there is no way of escape. You cannot. There's no way of escape if you neglect salvation in this day of salvation. So my prayer is for you, if you are unsaved, to number your days. But those words in verse 12 teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. They're for us as we were saved. See, the Lord was, I was saved, but the Lord was using it to challenge me. And I trust that the Lord will use them to challenge you tonight. That the Lord would teach us to number our days, that we'll apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, we can tell the unsaved, your life is short and you need to get saved. We apply these words to the unsaved, but we must ask ourselves, what about us? If life is so short, what are we doing for the Lord here and now? Are we living each day for the Lord? Those great words of C.T. Studd, a wonderful man of God, mightily used of God, said, only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done, then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before his judgment seat, only one life. 'Twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Think of those two lines. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. That's what I'm telling you. Your life will soon be past. But dwell on those closing words. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, that we would number our days and we would apply our hearts unto what matters. We ought to live with what years the Lord has given us. If we are to do so, we need to number our days. We need to live in the light of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way we as Christians must live. Think of how he lived. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work. Is that your desire? I must work for the Lord. Why did he say he must work? Why? He says, while it is yet day, the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, let us labor while it is yet day. The Lord really spoke to me through the death of this young man. But there was the death, as I say, of an older man, a man who lived his 70 years. A man whose death I didn't think was going to have that great of effect on me as it did. It was the death, maybe many of you know him. He was a peculiar man. A man by the name of Willie Honeyman. An evangelist. A man who tirelessly served the Lord in his own little unique way. Now Willie's son Paul is married to my sister. Now, I remember the day I heard of his death. I was in school. I hadn't heard it. I think my mom had been trying to ring me, but I had left the house before the call came through. And it was only when I went into school, and one of the boys in school said, did you hear Willie Honeyman is dead? Now, that struck me hard. See, on the Sunday before his death, I had been doing my own personal readings. I read the words of 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. And there Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, do the work of an evangelist. Now, those words struck me even at that time. Do the evangelist. Yes, Lord, there were words to Timothy, and I don't like wrestling verses out of their context, but in that instance, it was as if the Lord was talking to me. He's saying to me, for me to do the work of the evangelist, said me. I brushed it off. But I say, nearly in an instant, in hearing the death of Willie, those words came back to me. Do the work of an evangelist. See, Willie, as I say, was a unique man. Don't know how many of you know him, but he did do the work of an evangelist. He did it. And I thought, well, there's a man gone. A man who died at 70 years, and he could say he had numbered his days. I wonder, could I say that about myself? That's what I said. If it was me taken like that young man, but now I was saying, well, what if I was given the days like he was given? Would I, at my end, would people say there was a man who did the work of an evangelist? Oh, not for the praise of man, but had I faithfully served the Lord like him? Oh, I knew the Lord was speaking of me to do this, do something more, but again, I thought, how? How could I do this? How could I do it? Well, again, the Lord spoke to me, this time through, again, 2 Timothy in 2, verse 15. That at the time, I didn't realize that the motto text of the college, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It was that first word, study. See, here is me thinking, well, what was I going to be? Was I going to be an evangelist? Was I going to be a missionary in the far ends of the earth? What was I going to be? I wanted to know exactly, but you see, the Lord would have me know. First things first, you must study. We must study. We must do things decently and in order. And this is what the Lord would have me to do, was study. So, taking God at his word, I applied for college. I was accepted. I made it through my 4 years. And the Lord was responsible for it all. I say, well, word of testimony is a wonderful opportunity to look back at what the Lord has done. You see, so I look back even to that point, even if I stop at that juncture at this moment and think, I left school, haven't done my GCSEs. Here's me thinking I was leaving it just because I hated it and I wanted something different. But you see, the Lord used that time of doing that apprenticeship for me to be able to take a step back into education. And as I took that step of education, the Lord used that, the gifts, the things that I taught, I learned in university, to be able to take the step into teaching others, into the school. And the Lord used that opportunity for me in the school to be able to take the step into college. You see, you might know me very well, but it may be an unusual thing for a preacher to say, I'm not great with people. I don't like crowds. I don't like people. And before I went into the school, I couldn't stand up in front of a crowd of people and say anything. But the Lord would use those 4 years as teaching those children in the school to be able to equip me to even stand here today. Step by step, it was all of the Lord. When I left school after my GCSEs, I didn't think the Lord was going to use that to bring me into Bible college and to be here standing today as an ordained minister. The Lord has done great things, and every step it was Him. View your life, view your salvation, and see how the Lord has guided you step after step. Now, Timothy will be glad that I've been able to give you a long testimony, but there's more to say. I stand here now just over 2 years in the ministry. Now, I am unworthy of that position. See, there's one thing I learned, I knew it already, but one thing I was reminded of at the week of prayer was there's some great preachers of the gospel. As I look at them, I say, them men are better preachers of the gospel than me, but I can say there is no better gospel to preach. I rejoice that I have been called to preach that same gospel. The verse, I suppose, that I would put over my call to Corrigari is Acts 5:39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. Now, for a long time, the Lord burdened me, challenged me for Corrigari, and that burden only grew. And God, all I could say was by acts of providence, I could see directing me in that way. But yet, you know, I didn't want to go there if it wasn't the Lord's will. And my prayer to God is, Lord, if it is your will for me to go to Corrigari, that you would open the door. And if it is not your will, make sure that door stay closed. And if that door opens, I will take it. You see, if I didn't take that door, if it was opened, I would be fighting against God. If it was of God, no one could overthrow it. That's the promise that God gave to me. If it is truly God's will for me to serve God there, he would open that door. And I could not fight against that. I vowed that to God. If the door opens, I will take it. But please, Lord, don't open if it is not your will. So the Lord did open the door. As I vowed my vows unto God, I could not defer to pay them. So the Lord has done great things. I say, I'm unworthy of the calling the Lord has given me. I'm unworthy of the salvation that I received all those years before. All through it all, one thing I can say, God has been faithful. God has been good. God has never left me nor forsaken me. And maybe you're tonight and you're thinking, that salvation thing, it does sound good, but, see, there's always a but of some shape or form. But the but is, I couldn't keep it. And you're right, you can't, but God can. Oh, I feel God time and time again. I'm not proud to say that, I'm just being honest. The Lord has remained faithful to me. God said to his people, I will not break my covenant with thee. And the Lord has been true to those words to me. He's kept his covenant. Oh, I've let him down. I've failed him often. And I still do. But he has directed me. He's kept me. Even when I would wander, there he was still using that to direct me. Whatever days I have left, I don't know. But my prayer is, like Moses, that the Lord would teach me to number my days. May that be your prayer tonight. That if you're saved, that the Lord would teach you to number your days. And if you're unsaved, that you would number your days. You don't know what a day may bring forth. See that the days that you have been given thus far has been all of God's grace and God's mercy. To think you've been spared this far in life. Well, come to Christ tonight. Seek Him for salvation. Repent of your sin. Seek His forgiveness. And you too can know that love which he showed to me all those years ago. May the Lord take even these thoughts tonight, and this thought of what he has done for me, and may it be a blessing to each.